Okay. Should be live.
Okay. Yeah, we're definitely live.
Yeah. Okay. Perfect. Hello, everyone. It's Dylan from Yu-Gi-Oh! Everything, and welcome back to another Chronicles podcast episode. This is the first episode of the Chronicles that is remote. It's the first episode that is going to be covering the Albaz lore, which we know we are getting a total of six episodes for. It's going to last through November, which is really cool. And certainly an episode that got much higher regards and applauds, I think, throughout the Yu-Gi-Oh! Community as a whole. And we are going to break that all down for you guys and give our thoughts, which I'm very, very excited for. We have joined. We got a full crew today. We've got Dredger. Dredger, how you doing, man?
I'm excited. I'm very happy to be here. I'm glad I can make this podcast. I wouldn't miss it for the world.
Well, I will say this as well. It is a Tuesday night show. Obviously, we usually do these Wednesday nights, but just I was not able to do it tomorrow night. So unfortunately, you know, we just had to push it. So to everybody that's been able to change their schedule, these four men to my left, I greatly appreciate. And all of you guys watching at home as well that are here. Pete, how are you doing tonight, man?
Do well. How are you? I guess technically to the chat, we're on your right.
Oh, are you?
Yeah. But yeah, I'm doing well.
To the chat's right.
Well, I mean,
left.
you're left, but like... If
chat's
you're
right. Yeah. Yeah. All right. Yeah. Well, you know what? I'm directionally challenged sometimes. So, chat, I apologize for that. But, Pete, I appreciate you correcting the record there. Calibro, how are you doing tonight, man?
I'm doing good, man. I'm doing good. How are you?
Good. It's the first time we're doing a show like this, not under the same roof in a very long time.
I know. It's weird. It's very weird.
It is definitely weird. And then we got a man that I know, that you all know, that we all love, that is filling in for Nick T. We've got Dak FTW. Dak, how you doing today, man?
Hello. Doing good.
Good. And I appreciate you, very short notice, joining. Nick T not able to make it. Not that surprising. If there's a slight change in the record, you know, it's tough for Nick T. But we all love him, and we wish him well, and hopefully we'll see him in a few weeks. But yeah, everybody watching, I really, really appreciate. We have a lot to get to regarding the branded show. And do any of you wonderful people want to kind of start us off here talking about Albaz Episode 1?
You know what, Dill? I think you should start us off.
All right.
Hey, some things never change.
Yeah, some things never change. You know, the location, the backdrop might change, but some things never change. Listen, I mean, I have a lot of good to say about this. Obviously, the first two episodes have been really... calling them episodes is kind of a joke, and I am referring to, of course, the Sky Striker portion. But, you know, even after episode two aired, my opinion on this whole production on the Chronicles didn't really change from episode one to episode two. I always felt like, hey, branded is going to be the new start. Maybe Sky Striker is just going to kind of be like a test run, a pilot, like, you know, dip their feet in the water. And it seems like that really is kind of what it is. I do feel bad for the, you know, devoted Sky Striker fan out there, because I don't see how you can feel like you did not get the short end of the stick, especially after the first episode of the branded production, you know, doubling in length, adding a lot more lines of dialogue, a lot more character exposition, backstory. I don't think it's necessarily perfect, but I do believe that it is a massive step in the right direction. It's kind of more on par with what we thought this was going to be, where it was going to be an actual story about the lore. I still have, you know, a couple of issues and concerns. Like somebody had, you know, texted me the next morning, you know, the Yu-Gi-Oh! Anime is back. And I was like, all right, let's calm down, please. I mean, seriously, that reaction and that take, I think, is a little overblown. I kind of, you know, I did the restaurant analogy, right? You go to a restaurant three times and the first two times is terrible. The service is awful. The food is terrible. And you go back the third time and they hired a new waiter who's a little nicer, not the best in the world, but a little nicer. And the food tastes a little better. And you say, all right, well, that was certainly much better than the first two experiences. Maybe, you know, we can give this place another shot, but it needs a few more consistent experiences like that before you wash out the taste of those first two bad experiences. And worst of all, the restaurant was built on the grounds of your favorite restaurant that was torn down a year ago. You know, it's still only a 5-minute production per month. You know, we were used to 80 minutes of Yu-Gi-Oh! Anime per month. So that is still something that I wish the length was a little more. But, you know, we can talk about all the good and all the bad. Certainly a really, really good step in the right direction. And I am happy with the first episode here of the Albaz Lore. And we know we have this through November, so I'm excited about what's to come. Dak, you're kind of filling in here for Nick T. I'm going to actually throw it to you, kick you off here, man. What are your thoughts on the first Albaz episode here? And even just the Chronicles as a whole, because I don't think we've had you on. I don't think we've had you on for either of these two.
Yeah, not for the Chronicles. It's been a rocky start, I would say, with the Chronicles, with those first two, Sky Striker episodes. Definitely, I do think that Brandon's kind of been a step in the right direction. I wouldn't say it's it's obviously not perfect. There's definitely still room to grow, but it is nice to see kind of that development, that improvement, and kind of a step, you know, as they get a little bit better in quality overall. Really, you know, we have definitely, I would just say, more, improved music, obviously more, improvements with the characters, with the actual story elements, and everything. But it is definitely nice to kind of see where they kind of started and how they've kind of improved since then. And I'm hoping it means that things will continue to improve in that, as they kind of go through these future episodes, future lores. Maybe we'll see longer episodes still. We'll see, some of those different elements kind of coming into play. But it is nice to actually be able to know, hey, this is a character, this is her, her sister, this is what's going on, and be able to follow it a little
right.
bit more so.
Right, yeah. No, very, very well said there. Pete, I'm going to throw it to you. What were your thoughts on the first episode here of the Albaz portion of the Chronicles?
Honestly, I really liked it. Yeah. It, taking out the stuff you said at the beginning that, of course, we're getting fed scraps at the table. I compared to where we were. I'm just putting that aside and analyzing this as the project itself. Significant, unspeakable improvement mm-hmm. above the first two episodes. I mean, I think we knew after episode one, Sky Strikers was kind of screwed. And it was pretty much dead in the water at that point. This Albaz, it actually felt like we were introduced to a world, a couple of characters, even a third technically by the end, even though we didn't get anything on that character. And the music I thought was fantastic, and it just felt it was an atmosphere to actually what I was watching. It wasn't just a jumbled mess of clips that were put together to maybe sell Master Duel. It actually felt like I was part of a little mini series, and I really did enjoy it overall.
Yeah, no, very well said. And the Sky Striker episodes were so intrinsically tied in with Master Duel as well, where, remember, there was, a 4 minutes worth of, footage from the story mode, and one of the animators literally wrote and said, hey, make sure you watch the Sky Striker portion in the Master Duel to get a better understanding. And it's like, what? I mean, that is just so ridiculous. But there was nothing like that with Albaz. And I always thought that was a good sign, right? We had a very big update in Master Duel a couple of weeks before this dropped, and people rightfully so were speculating oh, are we gonna get the story mode here, and we didn't in Master Duel. There was nothing in Master Duel. It didn't feel right, as you said, Pete, it was intrinsically linked to that game, whatever word I'm trying to say.
Intrinsically.
All right, yeah, close enough. Calibro, would love to know your thoughts on the Albaz episode one.
So, I think it was a vast improvement from the Sky Striker. I think that, as you guys had said, it feels like there's a story. It feels like you weren't just thrown into something. You're kind of introduced to a character. You're introduced to a scene. You can see they're clearly in some sort of, war or battle because she's wearing the armor. And then this, obviously the sky opens up. I thought the whole cinematic aspect of it was very good as well. Gave me a little Game of Thrones vibe when they were walking in the beginning and all the people were kind of bowing as they walked down the street. Reminded me of the shame scene.
That was early in the show, right? That scene?
No. That's pretty early.
It wasn't the last season.
It's like middle of the show.
Okay. I knew it wasn't the last season, but okay.
Yeah, I know, Dylan. You don't have to mention the last season every time Game of Thrones comes up.
No, he does. He actually does have. It's his contract, actually.
But one thing I really did like for me is that after watching it, I had questions, but I feel like these questions will be answered rather than with Sky Striker. I had questions because I didn't know what was going on.
Right.
And to me, that's like the biggest, like a very big improvement for me. Again, it's not the anime, but compared to what we've gotten, it's a lot better.
Yeah, no, very, very well said. So the three of them, including me, Dredger, are all very high on the Chronicles episode 3 here. Dredge, would love to know your thoughts on the third episode.
So I'm very glad. I want to thank all my fellow members of this podcast for being here to listen to my TED Talk I'm about to go on. This was perfect. Like, you know the meme with Homelander? Perfect, yeah. Down to that minute detail. Oh. That's how I feel about this. And let me explain why. All of you made great points. Now, what did everyone on a scale of 0 to 10 rate the Sky Striker 2 episodes as a whole? What would you rate? Let's start with Pete. Pete, what would you rate Sky Striker, those 2 episodes, 0 out of 10 overall in quality, content, everything? What'd you give me?
Honestly, probably like a 3.
Okay, fair. Calibro, you're up next. What do we got?
Ooh.
I know, right? Tough question. Be fair. Be honest with yourself.
I was gonna say 3, but I didn't want to say the same thing. I'll give it a 3. I'll give it a 3.5. We'll give it a 3.5.
3.5. All right, Dak, what do you think?
My go to gut number was gonna be 4.
Okay, all right.
Mostly because of the animation.
Beautiful, yeah, beautiful. Dylan, what do you got?
Yeah, I mean, the first two numbers that popped in my head were 3 and 3.5. So I'll just go with 3.25. Yeah.
So on average, we're saying, and I'd argue, I was probably a 3. Okay. Yeah. Now, one thing I will say, and you made a great analogy. I want to give you a lot of creative analogy. I'm also going to give you a new analogy. So when you – like I'm trying to compare this in the best way I can. So you made the analogy of the restaurant, right? But we're forgetting a big piece to that analogy you gave. This is a new restaurant of people who have never owned a restaurant before. They don't know who needs to staff the restaurant. They don't know how to make the food the right way yet. They don't have the wait staff that's good, okay? They're gonna try their best. First two times, they didn't do a good job. They took your comments to heart. They took that and they reviewed it. They go, okay, we need to be better. Where can we get better, right? So then they hired the wait staff. They increased the episode. The animation is still great quality. You wanted a narrator. What'd they give you? A narrator. They gave you an actual plot and not just aura shots. What did they do for you? The restaurant took what you told them and gave it to you. This was perfect. Konami Animation, Konami is a big studio. Konami doesn't have any excuse for what they've done with not telling us about UE9 and all that crap. We're not defending that. But for what Konami Animation did, and I know it's a month, we got 2 minutes, another month, we got 3 minutes, this month, we only got 6. That's 100% more, right? And quality, I'd rate this episode an 8. So it's doubled up its quality, and this is their third episode they put out. And again, I know they're 3 minutes, they're 6 minutes, they're not long. I get that. We want more Yu-Gi-Oh! But I've said Konami Animation will be the next studio that does Yu-Gi-Oh! 9. And this is exactly why this proves that point. They're starting slow. They're trying to figure out what works, right? Dylan, if obviously now you've seen the first episode, right? What were you looking for in this first episode that you got? And then what were things that you didn't get that you still want for this, for the Brandon one, at least through this episode? What were some things? Real quick, give me like two and two if you can.
Well, things that we got that I wanted to get, you know, very good animation. I didn't want the animation quality to dip because that's obviously been the mission statement. And I thought the animation quality was good. And most importantly was a cohesive story with characters that were actually introduced, which I do feel we got as well. And that was very important. Fair. In terms of things we didn't get, I mean, I'm still not overly joyed with the length of the production. Being once a month.
I'm gonna finish. Apologize.
And then a second one of things that we didn't get. I mean, I think they probably could have done a slightly better job with like explaining a little bit more, but I'm not gonna get too into the weeds on that because there's still 5 more episodes, so it'd be unfair for me to fully judge that. You know, there were still some things where I was watching where I was like, oh, I don't really know what that means or what that is. But obviously there has to be some allure of mystery. So I don't want to just assume that we're never going to get those answered in this production. No, overall, I thought it was a very, very good episode. But I mean, the length of time is still certainly a negative.
I think, unfortunately, that's where you're going to need to temper your expectations. I do not believe we're going to get 20-minute episodes. This is not a...
I agree with you.
Yeah, but so what? How much time would you want it to be?
I would like it to be close to 10 minutes.
But then you're pushing the line of, is it still a short? Right? And they've told you it's a short.
Well, once a
month. They're very clear. I understand the frustration. If you had Yu-Gi-Oh! 9, you could care less if this was 3 minutes. Tell me yes or no.
Oh, I would agree with that. Yeah, I would.
Exactly.
Yeah.
So that's – you can't compare them. It's not fair. It's really not the animation.
It's not fair. Now, your analogy, I think I would feel a lot more empathetic if the owners of that restaurant who have never owned a restaurant before didn't have $11 billion in their pocket in order to hire the best staff. And do the research
needed. I'm not defending that aspect, but Konami Animation is its own studio. It's not, I mean, again, it's a subsidy of Konami, right? You'd argue it's a part of Konami, but obviously they're not going to invest all, you know, it's like this. You don't invest all your money in something you're not sure is going to work, right? You want them to put all $11 billion in that, and what if the animation studio fails? Then they go bankrupt, then we can never get U9, right? Now, again, that's a extreme over-exaggeration. I know that. I understand that. But you want to invest. Let's invest $200 million into this. See what they can do with it. Oh, they put out two shows. That first Sky Striker episode got what? How many views did the first Sky Striker episode get?
I think it was. I think it's sitting in the 600s.
600,000, right? Yeah. That's pretty solid. So they go, okay, there's a want for this. Okay, let's do another one. Let's just, you know, we're not gonna invest more yet. Let's try another one. Okay, we got only 400,000, but we know that we didn't make it much better. It's you know, I know it was less. I think so. It's not great. But now we know there's a want for this. There's a desire, and we build up. We got to stop looking at it. And again, I don't defend the billions of dollars they have in that aspect, not telling us about Yu-Gi-Oh! 9, not giving us a true update. But from a standpoint of what Konami Animation has done in a three-month stand where they've gone from 2 to 3 minute incoherent, no narrator episodes to arguably a coherent story we just got. Now, again, it's missing. I agree. It's missing the lore. It's missing a lot of things. But you have to be so – I mean, as you, the most – you know. I feel like glass half full person. You got to be excited. This is great. This is a great step in the right direction. And again, this is not going to be sprinting tomorrow. We're not going to get 23 minute episodes. We're not going to get Yu-Gi-Oh! Anime from this yet. But it's such a great step that I'm just super hyped. I think it was amazing. I loved everything about it. It's like they literally. I picture. I'm watching this episode. The minute goes on, I'm like, they want Dylan asked for a narrator. What'd they give him? A narrator.
Yeah.
Full narration. He asked for a coherent story. What'd they give him? Coherent story. He asked it to be longer. They did the three biggest things you wanted.
It's a very good episode. I think the reason why I'm not as just hyped Gung-ho. Up as you or hyped up as other people, you know, the guy who texted me, Yu-Gi-Oh! Anime.
Okay, well, that guy's out of his mind. I think the
reason I'm not nearly as hyped up is because, okay, this was one episode. And we've seen it
Agreed.
Before where, hey, the first episode is the one they put the most effort into. I would argue they just did that with Sky Striker. Not that either of those episodes were necessarily good, but I do think the first episode was better overall than the second episode in terms of,
Probably,
like,
yeah.
story and the amount of action scenes. I think we just need to, I think for me at least, I can only speak for me. I can't speak for anyone else. I can't dive fully into the thought of buying into this being like an amazing production until we get a little bit more consistency with these episode rollouts. If the next episode is the same length, 6.5 minutes, and it does the same job that this one did, I'll be feeling much more optimistic about the next four that are in this set. But I think because this was the first good one of three tries, I just want to see what the next one's going to bring. Because there's a chance, hey, end of July, that branded episode goes up, and that timestamp is back to 3.5 minutes. And it's like, all right, well, that is unfortunate. So I think I just want to temper my own expectations with this production in terms of, like, you know, being super excited about it. It's certainly a step in the right direction. I'll give them the credit there because they deserve all the credit in the world for pulling it back after what was a brutal opening two episodes. But I still need to see at least one more, maybe two more at this length, at this level of storytelling before I'll feel confident in the production here.
That's fair. I mean, again, I think that's the beauty of what we're talking about is everything you want. They need to do it repetitively, and I agree with you. And that's one point of being Konami Animation. I'm still, you know, gung ho on that. They will do Yu-Gi-Oh! 9. They're showing that they're capable of increasing, but again, they're just not putting all their eggs in that basket yet. Because again, as we've had the discussion about Takahashi and what they want to do next, there's so many factors. They're like, let's build this up. Let's do this right. And I hope they do. I really hope we get a fourth episode that's, you know, as good as this one. If we don't, I'll be on here a month from now saying, I guess I was wrong. And I'll admit that it was just, as you said, almost the good pilot episode to reel us in and then give us that 3-minute episode after. So we'll see.
And I hope that doesn't happen. I hope next month we're both like, oh, this is awesome. You know, maybe that timestamp says 8 minutes and, you know, it just keeps increasing.
All right, don't go
length.
Crazy. Don't go crazy.
Well, listen. Crazy. No, I mean, I'm going to listen. It's a once a month production, man. It's a 12.
Yes, but it's a new animation studio.
I know it's a new animation studio, but it's $1 billion company.
They're not a billion dollars.
That's the thing you have to. Yes. Yeah. They have limits.
Yes.
And for the record, views wise, the first one was 670, 311, okay. And then this last one, 482.
And what was the most recent branded one?
It was 482.
Oh, yeah. That was 482, but that's, it's only been 1 week. Okay.
Yeah, it's only been the 4 days. So.
Yeah, you're also going to lose people at first because people thought, wow, the first two were good. Why am I going to watch this one? But then the word of mouth, it'll spread. It's been now, what, a week about, give or take?
Four days. Knowing how YouTube works, and by the way, the fact that it reached like four, Dak, you can correct me if I'm wrong, but I think it reached like 450 in the first 48 hours. So it's significant.
Yeah, it was very quick.
Very quick. So it is significantly slowed down. I don't think it's going to beat what that first Sky Striker episode did. And, you know, I'll just say this again. Listen, you can take this as what it is, but the Yu-Gi-Oh! Geo-locked channel uploaded the Crash Town arc. Dredger, you remember that arc from 5Ds?
Oh, good arc.
Yu-Gi-Oh! 5Ds. In 9 days, it broke 1 million views on a channel that, again, is region-locked to Japan. So listen, that's all I'll say. I mean, again, you know, we don't want to compare the two, but that's all I'll say.
But you can't, though. Like, they're not going to sell the billions in it.
I still think that I am still irritated that obviously we don't have a card game anime. I would never hide that fact. I would never pretend that that's not a factor here, you know.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, 100%. Yeah, I agree.
Calibro, I mean, what did you think about like the stories, the character? As someone who probably doesn't know anything about Albez, you and Pete probably don't. I mean, me, Dredger, and Dak probably know a little about it because of Master Duel, although I'm not sure how much Dredger knows about it. But yeah, I'd love to know your thoughts on the characters and just the story.
So I thought it was very interesting. And like I kind of said a little bit, like, you know, you're introduced to this character who I wouldn't obviously know who she is right away, but they have this whole ceremony for her. They come up, and then her sister comes up and actually says her name and says that, yeah, they want you to be the next, virtuous vessel.
Yep.
And, like, also, like, they're giving us, like, real content, not only about, like, just a name, but also, like, kind of a what's going on here. Like, what is this ceremony for? Like, these people believe in you, all this kind of stuff. We didn't get the sister's name, which I was a little confused about, like, why not, but I also don't know if she's even that important.
You would know her name if you, like, played the deck and played the cards.
Yeah, that's sure. So, like, I know she said, like, call me Knight Commander. I don't know if that was also, like, maybe a card or something like that, but I don't know. I thought it was cool, and then obviously this dragon comes through some portal in the sky, and then after getting slashed, turns into a person.
Yep.
Or some other creature, which I also thought was really cool. But the way it ends there, it almost is like you're about to find out a lot more about this guy. Like, that's the way I felt as they cut to the ending where she has, like, kind of like the hammer. So overall, I thought, I mean, talk about an improvement. It's well beyond an improvement, but I thought it was good.
Yeah, I will say that character that comes out at the end, I mean, that's Albez. That is Albez. So he will be an extremely important character for sure. Mm-hmm. Pete, your thoughts on just kind of the story here as someone who doesn't really know anything about this deck or the cards that are being brought to life here.
Yeah, I liked it. I think, I mean, I could be dead wrong, but I feel like we got a good understanding of what was going on. Mm-hmm. We're in a very kind of very prim and proper, seemingly religious society is where we're picking up. They are under a threat of some kind. I would imagine it's from these half dragon, half other creature people. I imagine what is going to happen in the story is that the two characters that we end with right there, being the younger sister and the dragon man there, I assume that they are going to come to understand each other, that kind of the war I would assume that they are fighting is really not for the reasons that they think it is, and it's probably the two different sides will understand where they're coming from, because you kind of hinted at that a little bit with her speaking about wanting to kind of see the good in, I think she called them heretics, like see the good in them, and then her big sister called her naive. I think you're going to see some of that innocence, but also some of that care and understanding in the story. So very interesting the way it is structured in the society. I'm interested to see what role she has. She had like some title they gave the little sister, and you know, she was obviously the one, you know, having the ceremony at the beginning that looked like kind of a chapel. So I'm assuming she's some kind of, has some kind of special power, or she's some kind of prophet, or there's something there. You know, we see the glowing hammer she's also holding at the end. So yeah, overall, for the little bits that we got of the story, I could kind of see where I think it is going, and I'm for it. I'm in.
Pete, did you get Go Rush vibes in the sense of a way to end war or way to end a conflict using a different means than the typical fighting?
For sure. I think it's a little bit different in the sense that, I don't know, like, Yudi has seen it more as, like, oh, understanding rush duels was going to be a way to, like, repair things. This is going to be more old-fashioned people talking and understanding each other's culture and lore and what is going on. And I think, you know, they'll start off very contentious. They obviously have their own preconceived biases about each other. And there'll be little things that shine through that I think will break that down and allow them to trust each other over time.
Yeah. Yeah. I love that. Dak, obviously you're someone who, I mean, how familiar are you with Albaz, Dak? I'm familiar personally with like a lot of the cards, but I don't really know the story all that much. Are you someone who knew the lore or really just kind of the cards?
I mean, mostly the cards. I mean, definitely kind of followed it a little bit, but I mean, with Albaz, I mean, from what I've understood, there's a lot to it, and it kind of lost me at one point. That's mostly just because I don't really do a lot with the TCG. Like, I mean, I every now and then I'll collect a bunch of cards and kind of fall back into it, and then, you know, I'll kind of give it up.
Yeah.
Again.
Yeah.
You know, it's just, and that's just kind of, you know, some of the, you know, stuff around me with not really having a lot of local options or like, you know, a bunch of friends in the area to consistently play with. But you know, definitely it seems like, you know, there is a lot kind of to it. So I do think that, you know, we will kind of see some of those different elements, but I'm hoping that with how much there is to it, we're not going to just get, you know, scratch the surface, you know, over these six episodes and be, you know, done, but we're also not going to just skip all these major things to kind of zero in on, you know, one specific element. So that there's like, to me, it seems like we need a happy medium to make everything kind of fit. Cause I mean, you have, you know, Albaz, you have, of course, you know, or you have, you know, I think like Dogmatica gets tied into this.
Oh,
you
yeah.
A lot of like
branded,
you know,
yeah.
These different. Yeah, exactly. Yeah. Brandon, isn't like Tri Brigade or something tied
in? I think Tri Brigade is also tied in. I
like,
know
there's so many components.
There's an insane amount of components to the point where when they announced that it was going to be a six episode series, there were a lot of people that I saw in comments that were like, okay, 6 times 3, 18 minutes. Now, to be fair, this one was longer than the Sky Striker one, but people were like, there is no way you can tell even like 10% of the story in 18 minutes of anime screen time. So even if it ends up being 30 minutes, I'm sure there's going to have to be huge chunks that are just going to be left out, you know?
Yeah. So that's where I'm hoping they'll kind of, you know, they'll pick kind of the beginnings. You know, they'll do not like a, I guess, you know, origins is kind of, you know, not really the best word, but, you know, they'll kind of pick like that beginning. All right, we have our Albaz, we have our, you know, this, you know, and this is what we're going to focus on for these batches. And then, you know, let's say next year they do more, you know, roll out season 2, you know, so to speak.
True.
You know, kind of branded specifically, and you kind of dive into a little bit deeper, and oh, here's our Tri-Brigade section, or here's our whatever, you know, Mark Spriggans, you know, all those different elements, kind of just keep it over time. I think that'll help a lot, because there's a ton.
Apparently Sprite is even a part of it. I mean, that's just insane how many archetypes are kind of mixed in there. But yeah, you know, the other thing too, the Chronicles here is such, it's such in an infancy state where we've only had 3 episodes. We know what's planned through November, but we don't know what's planned after that. And as you said, Dak, maybe they take a couple of months off and say, all right, we're working on, you know, Branded or Albaz season 2, where we're going to like focus on the Sprite side of things, and that'll just tie in with what we've shown. Like, you can probably spend a crazy amount of time, probably years, if I'm being honest, if you do a once a month, 3 to 5 minute basis, for this lore. So I really, really am intrigued to see how they do it. I am not one of those people that think this is going to go for the next 30 years, every single month, no breaks. I don't think that's going to be the case. They certainly have enough content to do that, but I just don't think it will be the case. So yeah, the way that like this is rolled out will also be really interesting. So it's a good point. Dredge, obviously you're someone else who plays Master Duel here. Your thoughts on kind of just the story that we got here with Ecclesia, with Albaz, and with some cards that we all know and love.
Yeah, it's definitely, it's nice to like recognize things that I'm seeing, like, right? Because I mean, I've seen Sky Striker as well. Like, I've seen that those cards play out. But it's good that we get the narration, a little bit of story. So now, again, we're missing pieces, right? It's like, that's like any show, though, right? Like, even Game of Thrones, you start with Game of Thrones. I'm going to bring it up because we've started on this journey, so we'll go there. Game of Thrones, you're going to introduce to so many characters in that first episode. However, you don't know everything.
Yep.
Right? You don't know everything about everybody. You know generals. You know the king's coming. You know, we have brother and sister. They're doing stuff. You got that. There's so much going on, right? Like, but you get the information. Now, again, in episode two, you learn more about that information, help you start building the story around it, right? Kind of something here. I think they did a good job of giving you information, giving you some main, basically, I would argue, the three of the main components of this, you know, lore, at least this portion of it. And they're going to build on it. So I'm very excited with what they did. The narration, storytelling, more voice acting. Right? We one thing we really didn't specifically talk more, a lot more voice acting.
And great voice actors. High profile. Dio from JoJo's, who voiced Sayu, also was in this. I mean, it's crazy.
Some great voice actors. Yeah. So clearly they're starting to spend that money you're complaining they're not spending. They're spending it now to get these higher end voice actors because they're going to build it up. Again, I think doing a great job. It's one of those things that it's a slow burn, man. It's going to start cooking. It's like they don't. It's like they got some fire, but they don't got no grease. They don't got no oil. They can't cook it up even hot yet, but they're working on it. So storytelling, good job. I assume we're gonna get more because obviously I'm still confused. But that being said, I'm super high on this. So I'm not the right person to really ask because I just feel good about it. I feel really good about what they're doing. And I'm taking out the side of it that Konami's $1 billion company. I'm taking out the side of it that it's like in the name and that what we want, that it's not a Yu-Gi-Oh, a 20-minute Yu-Gi-Oh episode. It's Animation Chronicle. It's short. It's meant to keep us, you know, give us something. Again, and is it enough? No, it's not enough. They should have done a better job telling us about Yu-Gi-9, I admit that. But they haven't, so this is what we got. And if we want them to succeed, we like, more than anything, we want this to succeed because then that shows they can do more. And we want more. Yep. So overall, happy with the story. And again, I think I'm gonna learn something from this one.
Yeah, no, I'm definitely going to learn from it as well, whereas with Sky Striker, I really didn't feel like I learned anything. Now, to be fair, I had read the Sky Striker manga. That was the lore when this project was announced and we knew these were the first two we were getting. That was the lore that I knew much more about, but I still feel like I learned absolutely nothing new from that lore, and I feel like that was just terrible, but... Yeah, I mean, listen, I think it's great to be high on it. I think it's going to be really interesting to see what we get next month. I don't know. It's super like, I'm like split on two elements of it, right? On the one hand, I think it's great because it like the accessibility is awesome and it doesn't require a lot to watch, right? It requires 5 to 6 minutes max of your time in a month. There's no excuse why you can't watch it. Like, it's very quick. But I think on the other side of that same coin, you know, like, the fact that it's only, like, it's this short and so infrequent, I feel like it's hard. And Nick T actually said this after the second episode when we did the podcast. I was like, yeah, how are you feeling? And he's like, honestly, I watched it, and then 5 minutes later, it was out of my head, and I haven't thought about it until I sat down here. And, like, you know, I watched it, you know, a few days ago when I recorded the video, and I watched it again over the weekend. But, like, it's short, and I just feel like it's going to kind of be out of my mind. It's hard to, like, fully capture my attention when it's coming out so infrequently in this, like...
I don't think it's meant to, though. I don't think it's meant... I don't think...
Yeah.
Arguably, if you're spending, you know, all 30 days of the month till that comes out thinking about a 6-minute episode, maybe we need to do something.
Well, no, but I mean, it's to the point where, like, I don't even remember the episode is coming out until someone in chat mentions it and is like, oh, yeah, that's coming out in 3 days. I'm like, oh, yeah, I mean, I totally forgot about that. Yeah. Where
that's definitely fair.
Like the other, and again, it's not a fair comparison because it's not, weekly versus monthly.
But I'm comparing it because it's under
the Yu-Gi-Oh! Anime umbrella. And with the other shows, it's like, oh, I'm every Saturday, Go Rush. Every Wednesday, Yu-Gi-Oh! Vrains. And like that is like, it becomes kind of a ritual, like a little bit of a tradition almost, and like a big part of life. And I think it's part of mourning that being gone for now. And then this unfairly trying to fill the void. And it is unfair because it's not meant to fill that void, just being a once a month show that's only 5 minutes long, but because it's Yu-Gi-Oh! Anime and it's all we have, it's frustrating. Yeah,
like that, I hope you know I'm not like defending
Konami. You've said that many times. You said it's not enough, so no, I know you're not.
It's not enough, but I mean, at least for now, we see an improvement, and we just have to hope that improvement continues.
Agreed.
And then coming up in the Yu-Gi-Oh! Events that are going to be announcements, we get some announcements on Yu-Gi-Oh! Night. Oh, you know, sorry for the delay. We're working on it. When we have more updates, we'll let you know. We're looking for a 2026 release, but they'll give even just lie to us. We're looking for a 2027 release or 2026. Give us something to be like, okay, you're not just leaving us in the dark about your biggest IP. Like, it just doesn't make
sense. Well, what they'll give us is look to the future for more updates.
Yeah.
Well, it's like, okay, that's the fifth time you've said that.
Well, that's why also I'm getting so hyped for this, because I'm like, all right, I can't count on them to give me Yu-Gi-Oh! 9 for a while. Let's get hyped about Animage Chronicle and hope it hits it out of the park. You know?
Yeah, very fair.
I do think also, to just bounce off of Dredge, I feel like Dredge's excitement all stems from the fact that he's seeing improvement in the studio, which means that the studio could have the potential to do Yu-Gi-Oh! 9. So it's not necessarily, oh, this is amazing. It's, wow, they're improving. They're doing better. They're telling stories, better voice actors, all this stuff. They're making it even longer. So it's like they're continuing to make their work maybe more difficult and also better quality. So now you're thinking maybe, you know, in a year, could be like, yeah, you know, 2026, maybe it'll be a fall release instead of like the normal April. And it'll be like, that's when Yu-Gi-Oh! 9's coming. And it's like, it gives them another year to prepare, get ready, but also still produce content that people will watch. And as it's gone on so far, and we could hope that it continues, the quality has gotten better. So in that aspect, looking at it from a studio potential, I feel like that's where the excitement, at least for me, what comes more into play.
Yeah, well, it is. And Dredger's been steadfast in the opinion and belief that Konami Animation will do Yu-Gi-Oh! 9. I don't necessarily think that will be the case, but if that is the case, listen, that's going to be right up there with Nick T picking out the Darkmeister being Uemu from the season 3 poster. Crazy. You know, that'll be one of the better predictions, or the Mystery Girl having a big role. That'll be one of the better predictions.
Oh, that Mystery Girl, man, that was big.
In the history.
Me and Dylan wouldn't let that die, man. And Dylan even more than I did. We just wouldn't let it die. And then what do you see last is the Mystery Girl is Otis, man. That was, for everyone that said we were crazy, I just want you to know, you're wrong.
Well, I cried. You know, I was with Pete, and I had to excuse myself, and I was emotional.
I saw that, man, live.
Yeah,
I was crazy.
I was emotional.
I actually remember pausing it and looking at all of them and go, there's no freaking way. I couldn't believe it. Was one of those moments you're like, you gotta be kidding me. Like, this actually became, you know, and again, it's not even like that way. It's just the fact that it became something where, like, the people that told us there's just no way were wrong. It's not even close. Like, I think that was the satisfaction I got from it.
I have a list of names. No, I'm kidding. I don't.
Oh, but I do. I have them. I have them right here. I could yell them out, but I won't do that.
Yeah, I know. The fact that she was Otis was just crazy.
That's so wild.
Yeah. But yeah, no, it's it's going to be interesting to see just the direction that the series goes in. Certainly, though, I think we all agree, definitely a step in the right direction here for episode 3, episode 1 of the Albaz Lore. And again, it is fully confirmed that we are getting this for the next 6 months. So episode 2 will be July, episode 3 will be August, episode 4 will be September, episode 5 will be October, and episode 6, the final episode, will be November. And, you know, as a few people have pointed out, wow, this is, you know, the Albaz portion is ending in late November, a couple of weeks before Jump Fest. So what do you think that means? Like, come on, man. I wish it was like going through January so we didn't even have to speculate that. I'm sick of speculating all of these things. Speaking of speculation, Jump Victory Carnival is July 13th, July 12th, that weekend.
Is it region locked? Do we know?
We have no idea. They haven't even announced if they're streaming it yet, but that certainly is an event where in the past they have announced big things like working on Yu-Gi-Oh! 7s and the Yu-Gi-Oh! Bonds Beyond Time movie. There is a much smaller track record than Jump Festa, which will be in December. But for those that are waiting for potential news on a new weekly Yu-Gi-Oh! Series or a card game Yu-Gi-Oh! Anime even, whether it's going to be weekly or seasonal or anything, who knows? I will take monthly at this point, honestly. Yeah, that will be the mid-July, so that's a big date to look at. Does anybody else have anything else they kind of want to add here? Or do you want to read some donation super chats?
I actually have a question.
Yeah, please.
I'm going to send a picture to you in our Discord.
Okay.
Am I supposed to know who this guy is that's just in the background?
Where are we
randomly running in the running in the background of the alleyway in like the beginning of the opening scene.
That is a monster. Yeah, the guy with the wings, Calibro. I mean, I'll let me see if I can get it up real quick. That photo.
Because I saw that on like my second time watching it, and I'm like, huh, I know who that is. Like,
yeah, let me see if I can get it up real quick. Hold on. Where did you post that? Oh, you posted that in general. Okay, let me save image. Yeah, so you're really not supposed to know. Well, it's one of those things. If you don't know anything about the lore, the answer is absolutely not. You are not supposed to know who this is. But it's one of those things where if you do know about the lore, it is a character. It is that's not correct. Hold on. I believe it's a Tri-Brigade, right, Dak? Is that Tri-Brigade Nerval?
Something like that, yeah.
Yeah, so it is a monster, and again, it just massively, massively goes to show how big this lore is. Like, if anything that does, it just should, like, confirm how big this lore is, because that is a Tri-Brigade monster, and I know, you know, you don't necessarily think of, like, Tri-Brigade being part of this, but it is. But yeah, this character here... the wings. I believe it's Tri-Brigade Nerval. Now, I'll be honest, I have no idea the role he plays in the story, but it is a really, really cool Easter egg. And I said this with Sevens and Go Rush, and I'll say it right here. I always loved when Go Rush did little things, or even like, you know, Sevens, there were a few times where they referenced like Yu-Gi-Oh! 5Ds. I did that video five times Sevens referenced 5Ds. Jack Atlas's D-Wheel. It's not even like restricted to Sevens and Go Rush. I love when shows do stuff that reference the older Yu-Gi-Oh! Shows where it's like, well, you don't really, like, it's not that important if you don't get it. But if you do get it, it's a really awesome moment. That's kind of what this is. And the fact that they're even doing stuff like this, I think is a really, really good sign. Because it does show that there is a level of care there where they're making like little Easter eggs. And so that to me is a really good sign. But yeah, great point out there, Cal. That is a Tri-Brigade monster. Tri-Brigade Nerval in chat is saying that, man, that the Tri-Brigades are basically rebels. Again, I don't know much about this lore. So that's why I'm very excited to you know, watch these episodes and learn about it. And while I don't know if anybody is as hyped as Dredge is calling it perfect, I am, that is a bold statement, but hey, you know what? I always respect bold statements as someone who makes bold statements a lot. I am excited for the direction that it's going in. And I mean, this probably implies that Tri-Brigades will have a bit of a role in the story.
Why don't you ask them? You have them here on the podcast right now.
Yep.
So why don't you ask Tri-Brigade yourself?
Why don't I ask Tri-Brigade myself? Wait, where's Tri-Brigade?
They're in Dredger's little box, right? The character there? You have them on the podcast. Why don't you ask what role they're in?
Yeah. Tri-Brigade Nerval, it's great to have you here. Thank you so much for replacing Dredger short notice. I'd love to know, are you going to be making appearances later in this series? All right. Okay, not giving anything away. That's fine.
Maybe it's an NDA.
Yeah, it's a weird NDA situation. No, but you know, it is really exciting if they can keep this level up. I think again, my biggest concern is we've gotten a great episode here. The first two were what they were. I'll start feeling maybe more at the level that Dredger is at if we can, if episode two is just as good and as long, if episode three is just as good and as long, you know, if episode two comes out and it goes back to 2.5 minutes, it's like, all right, that's tough. That's tough. Yeah. So, you know, I just am trying to taper my expectations. But listen, I was someone who believed that the branded portion was going to be better. And yeah. I'm happy at the start here. It certainly is. But yeah, good sign that they're doing little odes and nuggets and Easter eggs there. As someone who loves that, I think that's a really,
can
really
I,
good sign.
Can I ask one more question as someone who knows nothing about this?
Yeah, please.
Dogmatica, what does that have to do with this?
Yeah, Dogmatica.
Like they're all like four Dogmatica. Like it's like they're, is that like a god?
I
in some way.
Dak, do you know? I always thought it was like a group of people, but maybe I'm wrong.
Yeah.
Is it like a god?
Country.
They're a massive cult-like church.
They're a country.
Oh, okay.
I think it mentioned it. Yeah. I thought it mentioned it. Yeah.
So
well, no, they say like four dogmatic.
Yeah, I thought they were like a group of people or like a cult.
It might be
a
group. I think a group of people actually sounds right.
But the main character's name is Ecclesia Cal, and she is a dogmatica monster. Yeah. And her older sister also is a dogmatica. And Weir is saying that, and here we got the scholar Weir, you know, very smart man. Dogmatic means religious devotion. Didn't know that. So there you go. So it's right in the namesake there. Ah, Konami being slick. Yeah, there you go. But yeah, that's how Dogmatica. That's Dogmatica. You have Albaz. You have Tri Brigade. Yeah, it's you know, it's a lot. Okay. And listen, hopefully they'll be able to explain it coherently. I think the first episode was a good sign for that. But certainly, you know, they have a really really tough job to fit in this massive lore in a really concise way, and I think it's going to be really really exciting. Really really exciting. Any other questions, because you know what, if you have questions, I can guarantee you there are people in chat that have the same questions. And by the way, me too. I wasn't even sure, so yeah, it's a good
question. Why I'm saying like thank you for that, because I'm trying to build the base knowledge around it too, because especially if it's going to be six episodes of this lore, the more to know the better. Obviously, I can look more into it myself, but just getting like that general knowledge, like I think it's
general knowledge.
It helps.
Yes, no, it definitely helps with the understanding a little later mm-hmm. on. So yeah, cool. Yep. Yeah, it's gonna be fun. It's gonna be fun. But yeah, July will be a cool month. We have the second episode of this, and then of course we have Jump Victory Carnival. We have a few super chats and donations. First of all, thank you guys all so much for watching. I know, again, it was kind of last notice us doing this on Tuesday instead of Wednesday. So I know there's some people that are so tuned in to, hey, it's going to be live on Wednesday. And then when it's not, they're like, oh, what happened? So to everybody that was just kind of around to catch that change, you know, we greatly appreciate it. Dark Emperor J, thank you for the very generous $2 donation. Random extreme question for laughs. Let's say Dill was getting canceled for stealing stars from people in last place in Mario Party, and you decided to make an apology video. What would that video look like? Delayed helped me with this question. Making the apology video,
I can jump in if you want.
Sure, you can jump in.
You wouldn't.
No, I'm going to jump in because this is what happened to me yesterday in my stream. I was in last place and I got star stolen from me.
It's happened to me too.
That's the meme here.
Yeah, it's happened to me too.
It's the streamer curse, bro. Streamer curse.
It is the streamer curse. First of all, I would think that being canceled for that is so ridiculous for stealing a star from someone in last place. But in this hypothetical, my apology video, I'd probably bust out the ukulele. I think that's worked for YouTubers in the past. So it would be a play from history. So I'd bust out the ukulele and I'd probably sing something along the lines of, you know, sorry for stealing from people in Mario Party. And I'd probably write like a little song. That's probably how I'd do it. But I don't think any of the guys would make an apology video for me. I mean, it's not their place to do so. I mean, I'm sure they'd support me, but
I think you could do something similar to like Conor McGregor, where he grabs the mic and he goes, I'd like to apologize to absolutely nobody. And he just screams into the mic. Love
that. Could do something like that. Yeah, no, I think that's a good idea. Dark Emperor J, thank you so much for the donation. Do we have any super chats?
Surely.
Beautiful.
We have yours truly, Calbreezy, has been a member for 66 months at Slifer Red.
6.5 years.
Thank you, Cal Breezy. 6.5 years. That's crazy.
Simple message of, oh, yurt.
Oh, yurt.
Oh, yurt.
Oh, boy.
That's crazy. Thank you, Cal. I really appreciate it, man.
Of course, of course. We got a $5 donation from Sean Gilbride.
Sean Gilbride. Thank you, Sean.
And Sean said, whoop, whoop. It is 95 degrees right now with 110 heat index where I live as of 7:46 p.m. Central. And air conditioning is my best friend.
Thank God for AC, dude. I don't know how
I don't know how those Europeans do it. I don't.
No, and I don't know how, like, back in the day when AC wasn't a thing, people did it. Maybe it wasn't this hot.
That's
but
why people died young.
I mean
Dylan,
seriously.
Honestly, you should be enjoying this. You love to work in, like, 80-degree weather, so I'm surprised you're not
you
liking
some
this
your best
heat,
work.
Yeah, do some of your best work you ever did in college.
I know you guys are trolling because there's no way you think 80 degrees feels the same as 110.
No. So Dylan, you're misunderstanding.
Temperature goes up, you do even better work.
I have a limit. I have a ceiling.
What I'm saying is you're complaining about air conditioning. Bro, back in college, you didn't use your air conditioning. You had and didn't use it, and it was 80-some degrees. What do you mean?
I didn't need to use it, but, in 110 weather, you need it. I didn't have many 100 days. By the way, when I was in college, we didn't really have these kind of days.
Yes, we did.
Global warming wasn't a thing then.
Yes.
During the school year? Wait, during the school year? September to early May?
Oh, no. Of course.
I don't remember a 100-degree day in May.
You don't think it was hot at any point?
It was hot, but
I don't think it was 110.
Yeah.
Okay, first of all, it's not 110.
Well, it feels like. It's a real feel. Okay. Real feel.
Today, real feel was 102 here. That's what
I'm talking about Iowa.
We're not in Iowa.
You're not in Iowa.
Well, that's too. He's in Delaware.
Oh, fun fact, apparently the recordist highest temperature in New Jersey was 110 degrees, recorded July 10th, 1936 in Middlesex County.
Wow. That's actually a fun fact. I actually had no idea. 1936? That must have been broken.
Yeah, it was 89 years ago.
That's crazy. No, we've obviously had hot days, but luckily during the school year, for the most part, we never had, like, insanely hot days. At least I don't remember, because we're out like in early May, so we're not there.
In September,
during
it's usually cooled off enough where it's like you might get a 90-degree day like once.
Right.
These last couple of Septembers have been brutal.
They have been. They have been. But no, as I always said, I would do some of my best work in an 85-degree dorm room. But now the temperature is usually at like 71 here. Really, really crazy.
Meanwhile, I'm in my parents' basement right now, and it is so cold I'm wearing a sweatshirt.
I love it. I'm jealous. I'm so jealous.
It's like probably sub 65 degrees down here.
How?
Wait, let me check my thermostat. I'll wait. Hold up.
My room is incredibly hot, so I'm very jealous.
Well, when I go up to my bedroom, it's about a 20-degree difference. So I go upstairs, and I just start sweating.
Terrible.
I only got 69.
Yeah, that's good.
We are keeping it at 72, I believe.
And Ivory is okay with that, or you bullied her into that?
Ivory is okay with it.
That was that meeting in the middle, Dredge.
Oh my god, that's terrifying.
Yeah, just crazy. It's wild. But I feel with you, Sean. I think a lot of us are going through this heat wave. I know Elaine also said that, it was like the real feel of like 108 where she lives. So yeah, you just got to stay hydrated, try to stay cool. And
especially if you work outside.
If you work outside, I don't know how people do it.
It blows.
Yeah, I can only imagine. I had to carry some final stuff yesterday in New Jersey, and I would walk from the front door to the car that was parked at the curb. And by the time I got back in, you'd be like drenched in sweat. And like, it's just crazy what that heat can do. You're like 10 degrees. If it gets hotter by like 10 degrees, your skin starts to expand. It's like, crazy the kind of heat that we're dealing with right now. So
also, Dylan, I need to stop the allegations that you made about me in your YouTube stream the other day.
What allegations?
Would you care to explain yourself, or would you like me to, for the court, tell her what happened?
Well, I would love to know what the allegations are, but sure.
The allegations are lying under oath saying that I do organ transplants.
Okay, well, first of all, I was not under oath. Second of
all, yes, you are. It's recorded. I right here. I can send it to the police.
Okay, being recorded does not mean under oath. Under oath means
yes,
you swore on. No, it does not.
Under oath, you just swore on the Bible.
Yeah, under oath.
New Jersey is a one-party state.
New Jersey is a one-party state, so as long as one party consents to recording a conversation, it's legal. But I will say this. I don't know the full scope of your work, so if I got anything slightly wrong, I apologize.
if my eye wasn't killing me right now, I would just rip you to shreds, but I have like a hair in it or something, so I'm going to let it go.
Oh, I'm sorry.
I'm lucky. It's very annoying. I'll tell y'all, hey, Thursday when I see you, be ready.
Do you have to get a transplant on your eyes? Like
the doctor will see you now.
Oh, my dude.
The doctor will see you now.
I can't. No, I don't. My eye, it'll just be shitty all night. And then once I wake up, it should be better because then the eye drops will kick in and crap. That's all. It's like really rare. I wish I could. I'll say it. Send a picture.
Is it a cat allergy?
So when I get cat hair in my eye, it's usually that. Cat hair in my eye.
Because when I go to a house with a cat.
It'll mess you up.
Yeah, when I go to a house with a cat, that will happen to me for hours.
It happens like once every few months, and I'm miserable about it, but it is what it is.
Yeah, if I pet a cat and then touch my eye, that's what happens. My eye blows
over.
Up.
Yeah,
I if I just am in the same vicinity as one, I don't even need to pet it. It'll happen. Yeah.
The cat hair just floats to your eye.
Yeah. It's just...
For you, Dill, isn't it like all pet hair? Because that's why your dog is hairless, right?
Yeah, it's definitely a lot of pet hair, but I will say, like, with dogs, it hasn't happened as much recently.
Cat dander is different.
Cat dander really is just, I'm more, and even my dad is, like, allergic to both, much more allergic to cats, and I think I'm the same way, where, like, I can name three or four different places with cats I've gone to in the last year, and I'm, like, I'm feeling it after, like, 10 minutes. But dogs, I can't really... Although we don't have a lot of like, I mean, you've got a dog, Pete. You've got a dog, Cal. You've got a dog, Dak. All right, so never mind. I was gonna say we don't really have a lot of dogs.
Bruh.
Oh man. Yeah, beautiful. Well, listen, Sean Gilbride, thank you for the super chat. Stay warm. Stay hydrated. Let's go.
Stay cool.
And keep practicing for the Olympics, man. You're killing it.
Oh yeah, absolutely. We got a $10 super chat from Colin.
Colin Cleese. I almost said Colin Jost. Colin, thank you so much for the $10 super chat.
In the chat.
Appreciate it, my man. Thank you, Colin.
Colin said, "I love that they're actually bringing in previous Yu-Gi-Oh! Anime voice actors to do these roles. Is there any Yu-Gi-Oh! VAs in particular you would want to be in one of these?"
Wow, that's a wonderful question. Well, the fact they already have Dio, you know, Sayu's voice actor is great. Colin, first of all, that's a very generous super chat, so thank you. And it's a wonderful thanks, Colin. Yeah, it's a wonderful question. I think Yuya's voice actor, Kasumi Ono, is that the name? I think that's his first name, Ono, because there's also a director Ono, and I don't remember which one Katsumi is, but I think that's the voice actor. I think he's got such a great range. Doing Yuya and Yuri's voice in Arc 5. Would love to see that. Obviously, if you bring back Suda, Seto Kaiba's voice actor, I think the internet would blow up. I believe we also have Kaito's voice actor from Zexal doing Albaz, right? Yeah, so that I did see, which is really, really cool. So yeah, they're bringing back. I think we have two previous Yu-Gi-Oh! Anime voice actors in this production. Listen, Konami's got all these people's numbers, right? They've worked with them. I'm sure they have a very good working relationship with them. I just saw that for, I think, the 30th anniversary of Kenjiro Suda being a voice actor, it was maybe his 30th something, they sent him a custom giant Blue Eyes White Dragon card, which is beautiful. He clearly has a great love for the franchise. They have a great love for him, so he's someone that I could absolutely see coming back. But also, I think if you get any of the protagonists voice acting, I think it would be incredible. So any of the protags, or Kenjiro Suda, I think would probably be my top two picks. Not really top two because pro tags. Any voices that you guys would maybe love to see back, a character that just kind of sticks out over the years? You don't need to know the guy's name, even just if it's a character.
Revolver.
That sticks out. Revolver's a good pick.
I was going to say Quaidul.
Quaidul's Royal Rush Rare. Yeah, that'd be a great great pick there. There's been a lot of really... Who'd you say, Pete?
You do Hellkaiser.
Hellkaiser, yeah. He's a great one. There's a lot of really, really good picks. Dak, you have any in mind?
Well, yeah. Pro tag-wise, I mean, Ken definitely comes to mind immediately. I think he'd be a lot of fun to voice somebody. But, I mean, even... there's a couple fun ones throughout, but I mean, even throwing off like some random like one off, I think could be a lot of fun. You know, people just kind of suddenly hear, like Windy or
yeah, Shingo,
like Lightning, exactly, just kind of
like irrelevant cat. Yes, yep.
Exactly. I think people would still have fun with it just because I recognize them from this show. I think that'd be a lot of fun for sure.
Yeah, it would be cool. Well, let's see. I mean, listen, it's a Konami production. They're probably, I'm sure they still have these guys like bank accounts, right? Direct deposit and stuff. So like it'd be easy, the payment and stuff. Like, let's do it. Let's give them a call. And if this is where the budget's going, this is where the budget's going. It's clearly not going to the length of these episodes. So let's bring in the best voice actors we can. I think it's a great idea.
Like Johnny Stepps.
And
no, no. Nice try. No, no.
I thought he had it.
The Battle Bees. It's like that. It was just listen to that, that for 20 minutes. That was a good impression. Oh, yeah. Be a dragon.
See, he works.
Dude, I can't stand the Battle Beast.
Bro, Battle Beast for life, right?
You would kill for the Battle Beast right now just to get anything.
Yeah. All right. Yu-Gi-Oh! 9, but it's from Battle Beast point of view.
I would.
It's an origin story of how he got to the point in Arc 5.
I would accept that. And
wow. How do you feel about yourself?
I don't feel good. I feel like I'm a desperate, pathetic man when it comes to this franchise.
Battle Beast Chronicles. Perfect name.
Yeah. It's tough.
That has to be your apology video.
Yeah, that's yikes.
Somebody has to clip you just saying it like that.
Oh, no.
It's perfect.
Oh, jeez.
Sound alert.
It's awful.
Give me that voice clip and I'll add it to a soundboard.
No, let's not do that.
Yeah, for like that could be the new gifted sub sound alert.
Oh, Jesus.
What, I'm a desperate, pathetic man? That?
Yeah.
Oh, no. Oh, he did it. He did the thing.
Hey, thank you so much for the donation. I appreciate that.
I'm a desperate, pathetic man.
It'd be so funny.
I'll take anything right now. Oh, looks like we're on a hype train, level 3. Yeah.
My God, yeah, we get 50
subs in a row.
50 subs, and it's just, I'm a desperate, pathetic man, pathetic 50 man. Times I'm in a row.
Oh, my God.
Well, see, what you'd have to do with it is you have to take it, and you have to make it one, but you have to set it to where it's like a random, chance.
Oh, like, I love that. And you can do that. You can do that, right? Yeah. Like, it's a 20% chance.
So like, every you just have 50 subs, and, one slips in there. I'm a desperate, pathetic man. And it just goes right back to,
Yeah, we got a new subscriber here. Yeah. Well, listen, we'll look into doing that. I mean, it's just tough right now, man. Good. It's tough being a Yu-Gi-Oh! Anime fan. It has been for a while. Mustache Lawyer, thank you for the $2 donation. You murdered a mustache. You're going to go away for at least 1,856 years for that. Wow, love the name callback there. Well, now I know who donated that. So, Space Cowgirl, I greatly appreciate the donation. She's been very first of all, she's made fun of my mustache for months. And then the stream after I shave it, she talks about how I murdered a mustache and I'm going to go to jail. You can't win. I mean, she is like an A-plus level troll, and I really, really respect her for that. Really do. Oh my
God. She's... I'm still waiting for you to shave the rest of it. You promised you would.
I do have to shave the rest of it because I look like I'm going to be... I look like I'm going to be building a table that people want me to buy.
Are you shaving that before I see you or no?
Yes, I do plan to shave it tonight.
Please, dude. Please.
I'll shave too.
I thought you were about to say you were going to shave him if he didn't shave it.
I mean, I'll do that. I got a check bag. I can put it in the check bag. We make it happen.
That's crazy. Mustache Lawyer, thank you so much for the $2 donation. Cal, do we have any more super chats?
We do. We have a $5 super chat from Ice Aiden.
Ice Aiden. Bum, 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 bum. Pressure. Thank you, Ice.
Hello, Yugi Bros. I saw the episode, but I forgot that I had even seen it. This is going to be a rough few years, even for an optimistic person like me.
I guess now we have to get back to being serious, which is which is not a bad thing, and get back to being a little like sad and depressed. But no, Ice Aiden, I completely am on the same boat as you. In fact, like, we're heading to the Atlantic Ocean, man, and we're leaving the port, and it's me and you on a boat, and the boat is sailing in the waters, and the waves are getting taller and taller, and every like 50 nautical space miles, you know, nautical sea miles, you know, the waves kind of subside for 5 minutes and it's smooth sailing, and then 5 minutes later you forget what smooth sailing was like, because for the next 29 days the waves are back to being huge. And that's kind of the boat that we've been on here.
29 days.
Well, that's the time between episodes.
Where are you going?
That's the time we're going to England. We're sailing. Circles. We're sailing the ocean.
Are
blue.
Are you an old fashioned galleon from the 1500s? Mm-hmm.
Oh yeah.
It's a 2-person boat, my friend. Actually, no. You know what?
They're canoeing.
It's a bigger boat. But how about this? Nick T is the sea captain.
We're gonna need a bigger boat.
Nick T's the sea captain. We're gonna end up in
Japan, and we left out of New York. We're gonna end up in Japan with Nick T leading us. Yeah, no, but like, man, we're on the ocean, and there's a bunch of Yu-Gi-Oh fans, and it's tough. And every 5 minutes we get kind of a break. But no, in all seriousness, Ice Aiden, and thank you so much for the donation. I really appreciate it. It speaks back to a point that I literally talked about earlier in this episode, where like, and Nick T said it as well, where like, you watch it for 5 minutes, and even if it is like really enjoyable, which this past episode was, it just like, then it's over and you have to wait another 30 days for new content. That adjustment is tough. I think even regardless of how high quality or how good the Chronicles was going to be, that adjustment was always going to be tough, because again, it's 80 minutes of content versus 5 minutes of content every single month. That is a tough adjustment for fans who have been used to weekly content for 20 plus years with minimal interruptions or breaks. Even when you had a big break between Vrains and Sevens, we knew that something was in production. At the end of the day, every time we go out on the poop deck and we look to see if England is in the view, it is pitch black, it's dark, and guess what? Nick T forgot to turn on the headlights of the ship. So there is nothing illuminating the ocean. And that's what it is right now for us Yu-Gi-Oh! Anime fans. It's pitch black, and we don't know what's coming next.
Are there other Yu-Gi-Oh! Fans on the Atlantic Ocean in separate boats? And like every now and again, you just
sound like.
No, we're all on the same boat.
You said it was a two-man boat.
I changed the analogy. Me and Ice Aiden,
now it's a huge boat.
It's like a Viking cruise ship.
a Viking cruise ship. What the?
Can you draw that for me? I don't know what this is.
I need a picture. I need a picture, bro.
It's like the king of the seas. It's the king of the seas. That.
Oh my god, dude!
Poseidon.
And us. Yu-Gi-Oh! Anime fans were on that ship, man, and it's been tough. But hey, what do we see in the distance, right? The light always shines at the end of a dark period. What do we see in the distance? Ho. Ice Aiden saying, well, Dylan, come here, and I'm walking. What do we see in the distance? Is that England? Is it France? No, it's Jump Victory Carnival in 2.5 weeks, and we'll see what happens at that event.
What happens if you're getting the Jump Victory Carnival and they didn't turn the lighthouse light on, and so then you just crash into the shore? Oh,
so can I say this? I trust Nick T's seafaring skills.
No, he's wasted. He drank a whole.
He drank all the rum.
Nick T's just going to be with me singing sea shanties all the whole time. So you know he's not watching the boat.
Oh, so now you're honestly, also piloting the boat.
I have the best chance of getting us there if we're on a boat, for sure. I may take a wrong turn. I say make the exits right here, but I'll get us
there. I'll be your navigator. Don't worry.
There you go. Follow the stars, dude.
Yeah, you got to find Orion's belt, right? Or the North Star or something. There's like some stars and shit you got to
find. Yeah.
Well, listen.
Or the Little Dipper. I don't know.
This is just tough, man. But Ice Aiden, great point. And thank you so much for the super chat. Listen, we're going to get the boat to shore. Promise you that.
Yeah, land ho. All
right. Whether we crash or not, it's getting there.
That's right. Yeah. That's right.
As they say, we can buff out those scratches, Captain.
Exactly.
All right. We got a $20 Canadian super chat from Axel Hero.
Wow. Axel Hero. Thank you so much. $20. That's crazy. Thank you, Hero.
Axel Hero said, hi, Dylan Co. My guess is that with 6 episodes of this branded, each ep will feature different segments like Tri Brigade, Springins, Despia, Bestials, and I think Dogmatica is done, and we're moving on with another segment.
That'd be cool. I'd be okay with that.
That would be really cool. I you know, it's funny, Axel here. First of all, thank you for the very generous super chat. I did not even think about that as a possibility, that each episode might feature like a different subgenre of the branded lore. Personally, I don't think that's what we're going to get, honestly, Axel Hero. I think we're mostly going to follow Albaz and Ecclesia. I think that's like the majority of what this story is going to be. But it would be interesting if they touched Tri Brigade, Springins, Despia, Bestials, and Dogmatica. But like, man, there is just so much. I mean, like, you didn't even name like Sprite in that, Axel Hero, and that's also part of the lore. And I'm sure you know that. It's just that's how much there is to cover here. Will they touch some of those? Yes. But I feel like they're not going to touch every single one that you laid out. I feel very good about Tri Brigade because they've already shown Tri Brigade right in the, you know, this image right here. They've already shown a Tri Brigade character. So the fact that like they've done that makes me pretty confident that we'll get part of that storyline. But I mean, what do you think about that, Dak? Do you think that's what they're going to kind of do with these 6 episodes? Or do you think it'll be mostly Albaz Ecclesia focus with some of it sprinkled in throughout?
Yeah, I think it's going to be mostly focused on them. We'll probably get some nods and references and maybe, you know, I don't want to say plot lines because that makes it sound like it's going to be a little bit longer than it is. But, you know, kind of some teases to those elements and some of those other groups like your Tri Brigade. Now, I could see perspective switching. Like, you know, one thought I had at the end of this first episode is maybe the next episode is from Albaz's perspective and kind of ending up in the same spot. You know, kind of whatever happens, you know, for him to come over and attack. I thought it could go maybe that way, but I do think it's going to mostly focus on the two of them, or kind of, you know, those two the most, I should say, at least.
If it does go that way, where episode 2 is like Albaz's perspective, my only ask, please do not end episode 2 at the same ending point where you ended episode 1, and we have to wait until late August to get that continuation. Please don't do that.
That's my hope and thought is that it wouldn't go that route. Like we'd get kind of to that point, you know, whatever happens, you know, oh, I have to, you know, go invade or, you know, whatever happens. And then, you know, we get that scene, he lands, you know, and then it kind of goes from there a little bit.
Yeah. Axel Hero, it's a very, very, very interesting proposal. So it'll be interesting to see. And I wish we could see next week, but sadly we have to wait until, we don't even know the date. We just late July, I believe is what they have said. So we have to wait till late July. Could be 5 more weeks before we get it. Hopefully not that long, but we'll see. But
Hey Dylan, when are we getting Yu-Gi-Oh 9?
I think Yu-Gi-Oh 9
more than 5 weeks. So there you go.
Well, was that supposed to make me feel better? Was that supposed to make me go wow?
Yeah, that's the point.
Only 5 weeks.
Let me say this.
Hey Dylan, how about this? How about no Animation Chronicle at all, and we wait till Yu-Gi-Oh 9? How about that?
I mean, I wouldn't necessarily like that either.
But see, perspective.
Again,
it sucks. It's terrible. I hate it. But I have to live with it.
Well, of course.
Eat the table scraps, bud.
Yeah, unfortunately, we do have to use table scraps for now.
No, I really don't know what you want me to say. I'm not gonna be like a ghoul and say no. I'd rather have nothing. But obviously, if the choice was between, you know, weekly card game show or this, I'd pick a weekly card game show. 100 times out of 100. But I'm also not gonna say I'd rather not have anything. I'm not gonna be one of those people. And there is no, and I've said it for years, even before we got this lore series. There is no reason why both can't coexist. There's no reason.
I think they should.
So
and I think at some point they will. But
I think so too. Dak, that's why we keep you around, man. I think so too.
And I think if they coexist, that does ruin Dredger's prediction of Konami Animation.
It would, and that's fine. Hey, I don't want. It's not about like being right. I don't care about being right. Like that's not
I know.
I want Yu-Gi-Oh 9, so it doesn't matter.
Yeah, you know? It'll be interesting.
I can see them doing it in house, both. But it's gonna just be a long time first. You know,
Konami, if Konami Animation did it, I think there would be a more accessible way for us to get it. Like I think if they the studio did it, even if they released it on YouTube or if they released, like, I just feel like because it's within the company and the company has those connections, it would work rather than a different studio putting it together. Because they have obviously connections with their other shows that can put it on different streaming platforms. So there's like no reason why we wouldn't be able to get that.
Theoretically, that should be the case, but never underestimate co-money and they'll probably keep it.
That's true.
Yeah. I mean,
they can make their own streaming service and then 100%. Make us pay
I've
for
said, I've
it.
Said that on a couple different podcasts, but I don't think they want extra money, it seems. It seems like they want to take the easiest possible route, which is release it right around our region and leave it there.
Well, you know,
to
also back that point up, unfortunately, and to counter, to play devil's advocate for you, for your point, Calibro, and I wish that that would be true, but right now they're re-uploading all of the old Yu-Gi-Oh! Anime on a region-locked YouTube channel. So they're doing that where they're putting those episodes out unsubbed and they're making it specifically. So unless you have a VPN, if you live outside of Japan, you can't watch it. Now, sure, a new show, maybe they would do it differently, but you would think more YouTube videos equal more ad revenue for the company. And if these 5D's episodes are getting 1 million views in 9 days, which some, you know, the Crash Town arc did, I'm not pulling that stat out of thin air.
Yep.
If it wasn't region locked and had official subtitles, I think that number might double, triple, quadruple. I really do.
Kind of sounds like Konami doesn't like the West.
Well, no. Yeah. I mean, think about their card game. It's two totally different ban lists, right? The OCG is their own section, and the TCG, which is the West, is their other section. So even in that game, they've kind of diversified a little bit in terms of having two separate ban lists. Now that I'm not saying that is because they don't like or don't care for people outside of Japan or those OCG regions, but I'm only saying that to kind of add on to your point there, Dredge. Maybe they just don't seem to care all that much.
Nope.
But it would be extra money. That's why it's hard to understand. It's extra money. Even if they didn't want to sub it. Yeah, Dak.
I was just saying, it's also kind of tricky because a lot of like the Yu-Gi-Oh! Official, you know, YouTube for the States, I mean, they have a lot of their episodes already uploaded and available. You know, for like the older shows. So, I mean, it could also be maybe they're playing a little bit of catch up. I mean, I still find it annoying and weird that it's region locked for the subs, but they've always kind of been less aligned with giving us those, I feel like, anymore.
Unless I think Americans are lazy and don't even want the subs and only want the dubs.
I mean, they could.
Could also be a licensing issue, to be fair. Could be a licensing issue.
Could also be that.
I think it's more boring technical that they it's licensing issues. They can't secure a network or place to put it for someone to officially sub. I think it's a lot of that stuff.
I think it's more effort
than they deem worth it, and they don't want to put effort and money into it.
Yeah,
especially if they have to you know, with the remaster, if they have to go in and recensor everything, you know, they're not going to want to do that on top of, you know, I mean, remastering. You know,
like, don't we love the FTC?
Yeah, remastering. You mean cropping out Elemental Hero Sparkman's head every time he gets summoned? That remaster?
Yes, I mean pulling a Simpsons and upscaling it in the laziest way possible.
love it. We love that.
When they remastered Duel Monsters, one of the big animators came out and said, "Yeah, that remaster was kind of terrible." That kind of remaster. Just ridiculous. But yeah, you know, we'll see. And at the end of the day, when Konami looks at Yu-Gi-Oh, where do they make their money from Yu-Gi-Oh? The card game. I mean, that's also the other thing. So it's right. How much energy do they want to put into the anime side of it when the card game is the main revenue driver? You can make all the arguments in the world of, oh, well, the anime has driven people to the card game. And sure, it has, but that reaches a point that, you know, that argument only goes so far. I mean, at this point, obviously, the card game is the main vehicle of revenue. That said, though, I still think there is a lot of potential to hit with maybe movies or anime that they still could make revenue. I don't think it's a black hole, horrible thing, but, you know, it's tough right now. It's tough to know what they're thinking, really. Sure. Do we have any more super chats, Calibro?
Yes, we have two more.
Okay, beautiful.
And both are $5 Australian super chats from Electric Kevin.
Thank you, Kevin. Appreciate it.
Kevin said, super hyped for this week's Pokemon episode. We're getting a rematch between Roy and Nimona and the first ever battle between Mega Evolution and Terrestrial.
That's awesome. Yeah. Well, I'm happy you're hyped for it.
Interesting.
I'm sure the show has been good. I mean, I've heard that it's gotten off to a good start this season from not just you, but from someone else, one of my other friends that watches it. So, yeah, I think that's awesome. Happy that there's a big big matchup coming. Mega Evolution Terrestrial. I think my preferred power-up method is Terrestrial over Mega Evolution. I know Ivrea, my better half, hates Mega Evolutions. I don't know if any of you gentlemen have an opinion on Mega Evolutions.
They're all right.
They're kind of boring.
Yeah.
Yeah, I mean, overall.
I like just normal evolutions, to be honest.
I think we're all old.
I mean, I'm basic. The way I look at it is I like the styling behind Mega Evolution. Like, you know, it's cool seeing Aether's other forms and stuff like
that. Yes, I agree with that.
I like the elements of the, you know, the Terrestrial a bit more. I just think that looks dumb.
Yeah.
In my opinion, you know, oh, you're covered in crystals. Cool. You have a big chandelier on your head because you're fire. Awesome. That looks great. I love it.
Yeah. You know, it's just... yeah. Well, hopefully that's going to be a good fight. Dak, have you watched any of the new Pokemon series?
I've seen a couple episodes. I do want to actually sit down and try to watch it a little bit more. Everything I've seen makes it look like it's a fun kind of a cool ride.
Yeah, I've heard very good things about it. Yeah, no, it's cool. Well, thank you, Kevin, for the super. You said there was another one as well, Cal?
Yes, and the other one was also Kevin, $5.
Thank you, Kevin.
And Kevin said, another food question. What's your favorite kind of exotic meat to consume? Crocodile, emu, kangaroo, etc.
Yeah, it's a great question. Unfortunately, I have to pass the buck on this one. I would argue I've never had any exotic meat. So unfortunately, it's a question I really can't answer. I'm not that adventurous. I mean,
I've had crickets. They're not bad. That's not meat, but.
Well, I'd say that counts as exotic for sure.
Yeah, I've eaten crickets.
I mean, I've definitely
No, go ahead.
I think I had puffer fish. There was.
That's pretty exotic.
Yeah, I've gone to two omakase.
Because if you eat bad like puffer fish, it's not correct. You can like.
You die.
Yeah, you know, I don't. I can't confirm if I've eaten it or not. I have to look at the photo.
Where's Delayed? Someone has Delayed.
No, I definitely didn't. It definitely was not there when me and Delayed got it. But some of those, for Justin's bachelor party, some of those omakase places, I've done it twice. Very expensive, but if you save up some money, do it. If you like fish, it's amazing. It's some of the best food, genuinely, you will ever have. And you don't order anything. They just prepare whatever they want to prepare for you. And that's definitely there's definitely some probably exotic fish on that. I know. I knew it wasn't Delayed.
I've had dino nuggets. Does dino nuggets count? They're real dinosaurs.
Nice. Well, I don't know if deer would count if venison. I don't know if venison.
Venison counts. You can count that.
It's exotic,
If venison counts as exotic,
compared to chicken, beef, or pork.
Yeah. I mean, I haven't had it.
For me, I wouldn't consider it.
I mean, it's not, but
yeah.
Well,
Kevin also said
monkfish. I got monkfish.
Kevin said that buffalo is common in the United States, but is exotic if you had that. And like, I've had bison burgers before.
I have not.
A list I'm looking up has bison listed as exotic.
For me, I'd say ostrich. Ostrich is
very exotic. Yep. Yeah. How was it?
Yep.
Very good. Yeah, I had it in burger form. It was very excellent.
Ostrich
venison
burger
is on the list.
There you go. Venison on the list.
Nice. I've had venison jerky.
By Google. By Google.
What about you, Dak? You've had anything interesting?
Some venison.
Venison.
Yeah, that's going to be mostly it.
I've never had it.
It's not bad.
Dredge, what about you? Oh, you said crickets.
Cricket, bison. I've had venison.
Cricket. How was that?
Croc is pretty good, too.
The only thing I won't... It was at actually Red Rock... special. They had like fried crickets.
Oh, how was it?
It was delicious.
Oh,
I took a tequila. I put it in the tequila shot and just took it.
And protein, man.
They're very high in protein. Not even capping.
Yeah.
Interesting.
The only thing I won't eat. Really, the only thing I will not eat snail. Something about the sliminess of snails, bro. Won't do it.
Yeah, it's a texture thing for sure.
Escargot. Won't do that. Stuff, no, thank you.
Hell no.
I've had it once. Hated it. Hated it.
Won't do that.
Yeah, no thanks. No.
Yeah, great question though, Kevin. But of the three you mentioned, crocodile, emu, kangaroo, I don't think any of the five of us have had any of those. Well, Dredger, have you had crocodile?
No, never
had croc. Oh, you've had croc. Alligator. How was it?
I've had alligator, not crocodile.
It could be a little tough.
Yeah.
It is tougher.
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
Yeah. One of Carrie's coworkers, they have had crocodile on a few occasions. She was telling us they like hunt them to eat, like, kind of like deer. In their
it's
area,
like I guess. Croc on a stick, you know. But... croc on a stick.
Yeah, they'll do that.
Have any of you guys had bull testicles?
I've not.
You mean Rocky Mountain oysters?
Yeah.
No, I think I went to a restaurant once that actually had them, but did not get them.
has anyone ever eaten like beef liver?
No.
Caliber shitty beef liver would help regenerate his liver for being.
I had
help him grow.
That was disgusting.
It would. Eating liver is extremely healthy.
He should eat
it. I'm not the liver king. I'm sorry. I can't.
That guy's healthy. That guy's jacked, dude.
Okay, well, that guy's on steroids. So
Wait, really?
I can't. Dylan dying laughing, and then goes, no, wait, really?
Well, Kevin, great food question there, man. We appreciate it. Thank you so much for the two super chats. Ladies and gentlemen, some dates to look out for. Obviously, a special Tuesday night stream here today. Next Wednesday will be the Talking Yu-Gi-Oh! Show, July 2nd. July 9th will be an after, or yeah, July 9th will be an After Dark. July 16th will be the Talking Yu-Gi-Oh! Show. July 23rd, hopefully, will be the Chronicles. It really depends on when that episode comes out. It might be the 30th, because July is one of those five Wednesday months, but we'll see. But the next three Wednesdays are set in stone. The Talking Yu-Gi-Oh! Show After Dark, the Talking Yu-Gi-Oh! Show July 12th and July 11th here on the East Coast. Friday, July 11th, if Duelist Kingdom Live, which is a concert of a bunch of Yu-Gi-Oh! Bands that have done openings and endings for them, playing live, not at the Tokyo Dome, it's at like the something flower stage. It is like a stage. If that's streamed, which I believe it will be streamed, I will be live watching so we can all attend a concert together. And then July 12th, that night, as long as Jump Victory Carnival is being streamed, I will be live for the panel praying that we get some sort of crazy announcement. So that is in 2.5 weeks.
That'd be wild.
That is something big to look forward to.
I might have to come down for that. I don't know.
I will be certainly sending the invite out. It will be probably, unfortunately, last minute because I have to wait to see if there's going to be any sort of stream, but would love to try to get a collection of people here, wonderful people behind me, in order to react to it. Right. But we're all wrapped up here. Yeah, Pete?
You drive down. No, I'm telling Dredge, me, you drive down, get Checkers on the way down.
Oh, I'll get Checkers, and then we get Raising Cane's the way back. This is the dream.
Oh, I'm saying. I'm saying.
Is Checkers in Delaware?
Yes.
Yes, I passed it,
we drove
actually.
Past on the way to your place.
That's awesome. I thought that was a Pennsylvania-only place. Didn't realize it was here. But yeah, so some very exciting streams to look forward to. Tomorrow we'll be live as well, but then no more streams until Monday. I've got to thank... First of all, everybody who donated, super chatted, thank you so much. Axel, Hero, and Colin with some very, very generous donations. Huge thank you to these guys to my left, right, whatever direction, because they came and did this on a Tuesday night, very short notice. Dredger, Calibro, Pete, and Dak. We'll start with Dredger in the top left, and then we'll go Cal, Pete, and Dak. If you guys have anything you want to promote, please go ahead and do so. And I implore all of you to follow them. Most of their stuff is going to be linked down below or posted in the chat. So thank you guys all so much for making this happen.
Better promote. Dylan is streaming tomorrow on, I think, his Yu-Gi-Oh! Everything channel. So make sure you're here tomorrow during the day. I stream at Twitch sometimes. I'm not streaming tomorrow, actually. I have to do some stuff after work. So you won't catch me stream until probably next week. However, when you do, you can come back, Pokemon Black Nuzlocke. We got a Venusaur named JR. Hopefully, I can finally beat the Pokemon Black randomized Nuzlocke. This is attempt number 7, so we'll see if we can finally beat it. The randomizer has been kicking my butt. So
they're tough.
We'll see.
You got this, Trish. I believe in you.
I hope so. Huh. We'll try. We'll try.
Mm-hmm. I don't really have anything to promote for myself, so I'll just kick it on over to Pete.
Nice.
YouTube Clueless Gamers, if you want, subscribe over there. And, thanks.
Nice.
Oh, look at that.
I guess I'm rounding out tonight. Yeah, I'll just stream over at twitch.tv/DakFTW. YouTube, same thing.
Why is yours not in here, Dak? That makes it so much harder.
As he didn't want to put me in there.
Sorry.
Yikes, it feels bad.
Hey, you put Nick T's music in there.
Yeah,
the guy's
that's kind of messed up, man.
That, so yeah. Can I say, I just, and Dak will know this because he also uploads videos or does streams. I always just copy the settings.
Yeah, no, it's always the same one. Anytime there's been an error, I've gone in and fixed it for him.
Thank you, Dak.
There you go. I put Dak in there, so we got Dak in there now.
Good. Yeah, follow Dak, follow Dredge, follow Pete, follow Cal. Also, yeah, poll finished up, 81 votes. Thank you to everybody who voted. 80% thought it was good or great. Actually, great and good both tied at 40%. Meh was 13%, and bad was 4%.
3% for the milk. That's crazy. It's some
there it is, Dredge.
Yeah, Jesus. plenty of percentage left over for some reason. Anyway, to all of you lovely people, thank you all so much for watching. Your viewership and your generosity is what allows me to do this on a daily consistent basis. And of course, the participation of my very close friends also allows me to do these Wednesday night shows. Of course, tonight on Tuesday night, episode 3 of the Chronicles, a branded new start, has concluded. Thank you to Dredge, Cal, Pete, Dak, and to everybody watching. Thank you all so much for everything. Master Duel versus chat tomorrow at 1. I'll see you then. Thank you so much. And I hope you have an amazing day.
Amazing day.
Take care, guys. Have a wonderful, wonderful night.
Oh, boy.
Bye-bye.